So that money will be heading down to Cuba later this month, and it will definitely help them to go out and do all, be the pastor and pastor's wife that they need to be in Cuba, where things are a lot different than they are here. But we are here this morning, and it's good to be in this house and in this place this morning. I want to tell you, Jesus has done a lot more for you than you'll ever acknowledge.
Amen, that's right.
He's been through and been through everything that you've been through. He's never left you. He's never forsaken you. He's been there with you. He's walked with you. He's helped you through all those times, and times you didn't even think he was there. He was there. He's awesome. And he is worthy of praise. Now, we in the house of the Lord, or are we just down and watching TV today? We in the house of the Lord, right? The Bible says we're supposed to give him some praise. And we need to be, we need to start being a little bit more forward with our praise to the Lord. We need to get excited about your changed life. You didn't do it on your own. You couldn't do it on your own. He's had a hand in it. And he's still got a hand in it. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Colossians this morning. Dan kind of read a four-part for us this morning. And we're going to be in here this morning. We're going to see how awesome Jesus is. We're going to see our place in it. We're going to see his place in it. But I want to be honest with you. The Bible tells us that we were once separated. Didn't mean God didn't love you, but we were separated from God because of the sins that we commit. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are all sinners. We've all sinned. And we were all separated at a time. We're going to move through some sections here in chapter 1, but chapter 1, we're going to work through this book, but we're going to work in chapter 1 here for a moment in verse 21. Once you were alienated from God and you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. We've all had some evil behavior. We've all had some sinful behavior. I hope today that because you're a believer, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, that evil behavior is behind you, even though we still sin from time to time. But I want to tell you, I hope that it is behind you. But he says, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish, and here we go, and free from accusation. I don't know if you understand what I just read. I don't know if all of you understand what the word is, but I'm going to break it down to you just for a minute. Because you have Jesus, you are no longer a liar. Because you have Jesus, you're no longer the alcoholic or the drug addict or the schemer or the adulterer or the thief, because Jesus changed your life. And if Jesus changed your life, he says, I'm not going to hold that against you anymore. So you may say, oh, well, I do this, I've done this. And listen, you may be recovering this, or you say, I may used to do that, but that ain't me no more. When you let Jesus into your life, you become new. So he says this, that you are without blemish. We are the one that keep bringing it back up. We are without blemish and without accusation. Without accusation, those things that Jesus forgave you of, you need to let it go. You need to move forward. You need to let it go and move forward, because he's not holding you accountable for it. He's not accusing you of it anymore. We'll come back to that just for a moment. We move down to chapter 2, verse 6. Like I said, I've got a lot I want to roll through here a little bit. But I want to tell you, you see, you didn't get excited. You didn't get excited yet. You need to get excited, because if you were a user, you were an alcoholic, and you were an adulteress, and you committed adultery, let me tell you something. If you ask Jesus to forgive you of it, he never acts like it never even happened. It never happened, because you asked Christ to forgive you of your sins. It's no, it never happened. That's the awesomeness and the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's who we serve. He is the powerful God. That's who we serve. Those sins are gone. They are long gone. They've been washed. They've been washed away with the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. But if you are living in sin, you have sin right now, they're still yours. You need to work those out with Him, and we'll get to that a little bit later. But I'm telling you today that if you have sinned and you've asked for forgiveness of it, He has forgotten it. There is no accusation in front of the Father. There is no accusation because Jesus forgave you of it. And then chapter 2, verse 6 says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as your Lord, just as you received Him, continue to live in Him." We don't go back to the old ways, but we continue to live in Him, rooted. We rooted and built up in Him and strengthened in faith as you were taught and overflowing with fullness. We need to work on our growth. We need to work on that spiritual growth. Just because we have salvation and we get baptized, we take communion from time to time, does not mean that we are done growing. We must continue to grow because God wants to use you for His kingdom work. He didn't just save you for yourself. He saved you for His kingdom that you might be an asset to use in His kingdom, that you would walk around as a testimony that God is very proud of and very thankful of, that He knows that He's changed your life, and that because your changed life now affects people who need to have their lives changed. And it's not about how awesome you are, but it's how awesome Jesus Christ is. We're getting there. We're getting there. We really need to be looking. Listen, we know what we've done in the past. We have a memory. God's given us a memory. But I'm telling you, God acts like it never happened. I don't know if you know how powerful the blood of Jesus Christ truly is. We're going to roll a little bit more. But we need to grow in our walk, in our life, in Jesus Christ. We need to grow in our walk with Him. We need to continue that. We need to be strengthened in the faith. When you show up for church, you strengthen other people's faith, but you also strengthen your own. So we need to continue to be strengthened in the faith. But He says this in verse 8, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ." Everything in this world is pulling you away from God. Everything in this world that is worldly is pulling you away, wants to pull you away from God. But God is trying to, Holy Spirit is pulling you toward God. So there's a battle for where you're at and pulling away. But the world is very deceptive. It's deceptive and it's hollow. There's no truth in it. There's no realness in it. There's no eternal life with God in it. There is no heaven. It's about this whole thing about trying to get you, this different philosophy and all these things. Listen, the world thinks it's very, very smart, but it's very, very foolish. We are not to follow into those things that the world tries to get us into. We need to know what's going on in our country. We need to know what's going on in our own backyard. We need to know what's going on in our home. We need to know what's going on in our cities. But sometimes we get so involved in those that we forget that we are only passing through. That we forget that we're only here temporary. We understand that life really truly don't begin until we exit this world and exit this door and enter into eternal, into the kingdom of God. And we understand that some of the things we do here have an impact there. So we need to remember that we need to be solid. We need to be about the things of the Lord. We need to be the things about the Lord. That's what we need to be. We need to be about the things of the Lord. But he goes on to verse 9. He says, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority." Huh. You've been given everything you need to make it through this world with victory. When you were separated with God, when you were separated from God, you did not have victory. There was no victory for you. You were just trying to make it, you were just trying to live. You were just trying to do those things. And the world tells you that you can do this and get those things, and they're all temporary. But what we see here is that we have the Father, and we have the Son, and we have the Holy Spirit, and we have everything that we need. The Bible says we can ask, we can come to Him, we can do all those things, and we can do it because Christ has given us the power through the Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you, we have everything we need to do what God wants us to do on this world as individuals and as a church. But our faith must continue to keep growing. You must continue to follow the ways of the Lord. You must do that. You must remember that there is a way. God has given us His Word. It is the Holy Scriptures to follow. That is our map. Those words, listen, you can have all the books you want, but this is the book. This is the way that we are to live. It is our, not just our guide, it is our, the way we have to. It is our bread of life. It is our peace that we need to eat the words of God and take those in and let it work through us, because we need that fullness of Christ is us letting God be come in and into us and the Holy Spirit and let them have their will. It is the Father's will, not our own will. And we struggle as Christians sometimes because we want to do what we want to do and not what the Father wants us to do. Verse 13 says, when you were dead in your sins, and we were dead in our sins, and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us of all of our sins. He forgave us of all your sins. Don't go up to, don't tell, so many people will say, listen, I don't think God can forgive me of X, Y, and Z. These other things, but not X, Y, and Z. Listen, God will forgive you through Christ of all your sins. All of them. All of them. All of them. And if you have conviction over it right now, then you are not, maybe not have really dealt with it. You just kind of went through it in a real quick prayer and just kind of like tried to sugarcoat it. And God wants to deal with it. He does want to talk to you about it. He does want to help you through it. He wants to forgive you, but there's some things that He needs to speak into your life. So if you need to confess sin, you need to do it. But He says, God made you alive. You now are alive. You before Christ, we were dead in our transgressions. We were dead people walking. We are zombies walking around. We were all infected with that zombie thing, and we were all because of the sin that we had in our life. But God made us alive, and that's the only way that you'll truly live is through Jesus Christ, and that your sins are forgiven. So God made us alive with Christ, and He forgave us of our sins. Having canceled the written code with its regulations and was against us, that was against us and that stood opposed to us, we could not live a perfect life. God knew that, but He gave it there so we know right from wrong and all of that. But He did an amazing thing, and He did it, and it did an amazing thing with Jesus Christ. He says He took it away and He nailed it to the cross. Your sins have been nailed to the cross. They're no more. They're done. They're over. They're no more. The greatest miracle of all is that Jesus Christ, it wasn't that Jesus Christ came and was born, but that Jesus Christ died upon the cross for people, for all of our sins, all at one time, all of our sins. It was enough. And then He was buried. But then again, He was raised from the dead because He was not guilty of sin. He was carrying our sin on the cross. My sin. Your sin, the sins that everybody sees, and the sins that you try to hide in the closet or in the car or down the street or wherever it may be. It all adds up. It's your sin. It's your sin. And He says, you ask and I'll forgive you. That's awesome. That is awesome. You are somebody in heaven because of Jesus Christ if you receive salvation. You are somebody. Your name is written in that one book, and that's above all the books, in the Lamb's book of life. That's the Jesus book. The Lamb is Jesus. Amen? It is Jesus' book. And if your name is written in it, you are special. Don't get off of the little things that bother you in life and get on the big things that really matter. And He says, in having disarmed the powers of authorities, He made a public spectacle of them. See, death was in control at one time. Death was in control, not above God, but death was in control of people because people died in their sins. But because Christ died, now He has made a spectacle of them and of all the demons and Satan and all that. He had triumphed up over them and won that whole thing. And it says triumph over them by what? Because He did some miracles? No. Because He came to earth? No. He triumphed because of them by the cross. The cross, that's what it is. The cross is everything to us. What Jesus did on the cross is everything, everything to us. He died on the cross. He didn't quit. He didn't call 10,000 angels down, which He could have. He could have just walked away from the whole thing, but He did not. He finished His race. He finished it as the victor. I just know this, God is awesome. God is awesome. You get to know Him. He is awesome. He's just not a name in a book, but He's living, and His Holy Spirit lives inside of every believer. Tap into that, and you'll know how awesome God is. Chapter 3, verse 1. He says, since then you have been raised with Christ. Now we take some responsibility. Now I know that I can't be a baby in Christ. Now I got to grow up in Christ. I got to get it now. I got to work on it. It doesn't mean one day you get saved, the next day you're this mature Christian and everything. And listen, mature Christians mess up too. All right? So I just want to say, there's a growth spurt for everybody. But the key is that we all need to be growing. Okay? We all need to be growing. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. You notice all this stuff we're reading? It had nothing to do with you except our sin. It's all the power of Jesus. None of the power was ours. None of it. Because you could have chosen not to receive the gospel. And the power of the cross is still the same as it is today. But if you've chosen to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, you've chosen what God wants and why Christ came. So he says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. I love that part. I love it that God sits on the throne. It's not the American presidents. It's not the kings of England. It's not anybody. There is a throne that is above all thrones. Every one of the thrones and seats of the White House, whatever it is, they all change names. But the main throne, the kingdom throne, has never changed a name. Has never. It's been the same king and the same creator ever since. Ever since. Ever since. He says, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Let me tell you, like I said, there's more going on than what you can see and what you know. God has got you. You are a part of His family, and we need to act like the family of God. Amen? We need to love the family of God. We need to be the family of God. We need to be light for the family of God. We need to know who our daddy is. We need to know who our Savior is. We need to know the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what He's called us to do, is to think, lift up the name of God in our hearts and our voices. Listen, and be that family member that God has for us. When Christ, who is in your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. But He says, put to death. Now we need to put to death some things. God has given us life through Christ. He's called us to be stronger and to grow and to be strong in faith. But now there's some things that we need to put to death. Now listen, before I told you in the beginning, listen, if you are a Christ, He says there's no accusation. You're no longer these drug addicts, alcoholics, and schemers, and liars, and adulterers, and thieves, and all those things like that. Listen, He's forgiven that, but He also says, now you need to put to death some things. You need to put to death some things. You can't just receive Christ and expect to go out and live like a sinner who doesn't have Christ. We need to be different. He says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality. That's one of the things that's taken down the United States. Sexual immorality. Impurity. Lust and evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. That's a big handful. That's a big handful. That's an armful. How many of you all have sinned in those areas? Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. Did you hear that? You used to walk in those things, the life you once lived. You used to walk in them, but as a believer, you don't need to walk in those anymore. If you truly believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, if you truly have Jesus Christ, you know that you don't need to walk in those ways anymore. Amen? Come on now. You don't need to walk. You once were that, but now you are not because of the power of the Spirit and Jesus Christ. You gave your heart to Him. He's working on you. And you know, there needs to be a difference. You once lived like that. That you knew. And someone can say, yep, I remember you. I used to, yep. You can say, that's not me anymore. That's the old me. That's the, yeah, I used to. Yeah, I would be the one calling you, but you calling me. I'm sorry. I don't do that no more. I'm new. I have this new man in my life. Not that thing anymore, but I got a new life in Jesus Christ. Can I share how my life changed? Can I share my story? Come on now, we in the house of God. I've got 50 million testimonies about my life, how God changed my life. Do you? Nobody's even jumped up and said, hey, let me tell you how Jesus changed my life. That's why the community is about as dead can be. We need to get excited about what Jesus has done in our lives. Has Jesus changed your life? I got you 60 seconds. I'm going to give you 60 seconds. Somebody shout out something. Somebody praise the Lord. Okay. Let's go. Okay, alcohol fall free. Praise God. There she's shaking her hand like this. Yes. Yeah. Amen. Come on, somebody else. Supernaturally saved from drugs in my 32 years. Awesome. Okay. Come on now. Just stand up and say, I'm going to tell you what Jesus did in my life. Come on. This is your time. God is watching. Huh? Amen. Amen. Don't be ashamed. We just sing it. Yes, I believe. I will not be ashamed. Come on, somebody. Okay. Good, Melanie. Anybody else? Come on now. Bible says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is moving. Yes, shout it out real loud. Gave you peace. Let me tell you, you can't buy peace. You only get it from the Lord. Amen? It don't have to be traumatic. It's your testimony. It's your peace. Shout it out. Amen. 5, 4, 3. Thank you. Amen. Come on now. Yep, keeping the faith. I like to hear that. Keeping the faith. And it's not always easy, is it? But you keep the faith. Okay. All right. All right, so he continues on and he says this, because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self and with its practices and have put on a new self, praise the Lord, which is being renewed in the knowledge, in the image of the Creator. Isn't that awesome? You got a new self. You couldn't buy it. You couldn't make it. You couldn't do anything. You can only get it through one door, the Jesus door. That's the only way you can get a new life, and that new life is through Jesus and Jesus only. There's no other way. You can't get it through your friends, through a man, through a woman, through drugs, through alcohol, through any other kind of lifestyle, through education, nothing. It only comes through Jesus Christ. Why? Because of what He did on the cross. What He did on the cross was for you and I, that we might have that faith that'll sustain us for 40 or 50 or 60 years. You started off as a sinner, but you ended up as a sinner saved by grace. Praise God for that. Amen. But He says, therefore, now you get rid of those things. Now, therefore, God has chosen people holy and dearly loved. Clothe yourself now with compassion. Now He tells you to put on some things. Now we need to put on compassion, because some of you know that in your old self, you didn't have no compassion. You didn't have no compassion because it was all about me. I want compassion. I don't give compassion, but I want compassion. But He says there, now we need to clothe ourselves. That means we need to put on compassion and kindness. Some of you are not very nice people before you came to know Christ. Now, if people say you're not nice now, then you need to look in the mirror and ask God to give you an adjustment, because sometimes Christians are so nice. Because sometimes you just can't tell. But He says to put on kindness. We need to be kind with humility. It's not all about that. It's not humility. Gentleness. And folks, we need to put on some patience. We need to put on some patience. Who needs that patience a little bit more? Who needs to tighten the belt of patience a little bit more? I'm right there with you. All right. Then He says this. Now, here comes a big one. He says, forgive now. Woo! All right. Here's where I got to learn. We have to learn. We need to forgive. Forgive. Now what? And we forgive as my wife does, or forgive as I do, or forgive as you do? No. We forgive as the Lord. You can't do that without the power of the Holy Spirit. That means you got to let go. Now I know every time I talk about this, somebody is always holding on. Somebody in the house is always holding on to something. Can't let it go. Now I want to tell you, as long as you're holding it, you ain't going to let it go. And you hold on to that tighter than you do anything else. And you pray about it, and all God's telling you is, let it go. Forgive, and that lets you let it go. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. That's what we need to do. And all of these virtues you put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. What is all these scriptures saying here that we just read? He is making you a new person with compassion and kindness, where you got rid of the old self. Now you got the new self, but you do it through the blood and through the receiving of Jesus Christ. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. We just heard somebody testify about peace, because when you are not a believer, you have no peace. You're trying to keep up with the Joneses or the Bills or whoever it may be. You're trying to keep up and you're trying to figure out what the world's going on, and you're doing and you're living the way the world does. But there is a peace that only comes by God. It's a peace that when everything, and it feels like you're in the storm of life, but there's this one peace down here. There's something way down in here, and it is the peace of God that keeps you from your boat tipping over, from your life boat sinking. And there's a peace in that, knowing that when you're serving God and you have a horrible week and things are really looking bad and you have tragedy and you have sadness, there's something that can lead and it can rule in your heart. And that is all those things you know, but above all things you can say, there is this part of me that has peace. And that peace doesn't come from my situation. That peace doesn't come from my last name. It doesn't come how much money you may have in your account. That peace doesn't come from my church. That peace comes from the only place it can come from, and that is from Jesus Christ, our Lord and personal Savior. Because he said, I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. That's a promise from the Father. And he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. We need to be thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing, I sent that to you earlier this week, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Don't you love Jesus? Don't you just love how God's pulling us to a relationship? Come on, get to know my son. Get to know me. Get to know my son. I'm pulling you together. I'm pulling you together. I'm pulling you together. Why does he do that? Because you're part of the family of God. And that's what a father does. That's what a father does. That's what he does. And he says, whatever you do, in verse 23, you work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord. Oh, a what? An inheritance. You're going to get an inheritance. Some of you may have enjoyed a small monetary or whatever inheritance in this world, or maybe you inherited problems. Maybe you inherited bills or whatever, something from your family. Maybe somebody inherited, maybe you were, someone died and somebody got a car and you didn't, and you're holding on to that grudge and you're looking at those things. Let me tell you something, there's an inheritance that's above all the inheritance. And God's got something in store for you, but you can't see it yet, but that's part of our faith. And God's holding it up in the heaven until you come into his hand, until you come into his house. When you come into his house, he's going to treat you like royalty because you are part of the family of God. Angels are going to stand up onto the side. The Bible says you're going to judge the angels. You're going to come in there and you ain't just going to be a nobody. You're going to be a somebody, because you are part of the somebody family. You are part of the family of God. You are a child of God, and God's going to take care of you, and you have an inheritance. But here we are to continue to work for him and serve him. He is watching. He is watching. And my question is he pleased with your life where it is? Does he see growth in your life right now? I'm telling you right now, if there's anything real in this world, whether it be this platform, this building, listen, there's something more real than what you can see with your eyes, and that is God himself. God is real. God is real. Everything is transparent. Everything else is going to be here today and going to be tomorrow, but God is going to be here always. God is real. God is real. He did create the earth. He did create the universe. He did put the stars in place. He did create you and me. He gave the miracle gift of birth. That's why you and I are here today. But we messed it up. A long time ago, somebody messed it up in the garden. But I want to tell you, we all continued to mess it up, didn't we? But God loves us so much. He loves you, and He loves me. And it makes no sense that He says, if you receive my Son, who put His body up on the cross, nailed your sins to the cross, now we're going to get an inheritance. That's how awesome God is. I told you He's awesome. I told you. And I didn't, guess what? We don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. We really don't deserve it. But God loves to give. God loves to give. He loves to give. He loves to give. And since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ that you are serving. We need to remember that it is the Lord Christ that we are serving, right? Amen? It is the Lord Christ that we are serving. We are the vessels in this world that God is using to reach out to the lost people. I love it. I think, I don't know where my life would be without Christ today. I think it'd be a mess. I'm going to read something to you as I close in the book of Ezekiel. This is before Jesus came. I want you to really listen. This is Ezekiel chapter 33. And as I was reading this, it was amazing how God just says, now I want you to turn over to Colossians and tell you how it's working today. That's awesome. He says, this, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not speak out to dissuade him from his wicked ways, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the wicked man to turn from his ways, and he does not do so, he will die for his own sin, but you will have saved yourself. Talk about being your brother's keeper. If you know somebody's doing wrong and you don't tell them, and you don't work with them, and you don't, God's going to hold you somewhat accountable for some of that because you didn't speak up. Now I wonder how that is today when God tells us that we need to share the gospel and we don't speak up. That's not what God's saying, that we're going to be held accountable. But that's what He was saying then. But let me tell you what God says about this. He says, Son of man, say to the house of Israel, this is what you are saying. This is what you're saying because God's people are messed. Our offenses and sins weigh us down, and we are wasting away because of them. How then can we live? They say, how then can we live? They say to them, He says, say, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord. Now God says this, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, O house of Israel? God, if you got a cheerleader on your side, it is God Himself. If you got the encourager on your side, it is God Himself. He has no pleasure in seeing wicked people in trouble. He has no pleasure in it. He would rather see them turn from their wicked ways. And now today, even after Jesus came, that's still the same heart. He has no pleasure in seeing the wicked destroyed, but rather that they turn from their wicked ways. And He give us a way to do that. But it's only through Jesus Christ. For the Bible says, if I confess my sins, He is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and all of my unrighteousness. I don't know where you are in your life with Christ. And it doesn't matter what position you have in this church. God sees everything. I don't know what you need to let go. I don't know what you need to grab onto. We heard the list of the things that we need to put to death and the things that we need to clothe ourselves with. But I do know this. God's Spirit is in this house this morning. Not because of this building, but because believers have come together. And I believe the Holy Spirit has worked on many of us this morning. You just have to do whatever He's called you to do. If you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, I'll be right here. You can come down and I will answer any question you have to the best of my ability. And if you want Christ, I will share how to receive the awesome gift of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you can become part of the family of God with an inheritance. But also, I want to warn you as Christians, you have salvation, but with that comes a great responsibility to know the treasure and value of it, and that there is a call to grow in your walk with Christ. Amen? Let's go ahead and stand. I want to give you an opportunity this morning for you to obey whatever the Holy Spirit speaks to you about.